Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. Jimbo Fish are going to join us in about 15 minutes if you're an Ag. Even if you're not an Ag, good football talk with the head coach of the Texas A&M Aggies coming your way in about 15 minutes. And a lot of good football talk here. All you got to do, if you want to call in, 713-780-3776.
A lot of football talk. Well, I'm sorry. Why are we not even playing All Systems Go to start the show?
That's
not, why are we acting like this is not...
That's our producer.
Why are we acting like today is not the beginning of baseball playoffs and another run for the title?
Because they were 29-31.
So?
What do you mean?
What if Altuve and Springer and Bregman and all those and Correa start hitting? Then what?
What if your aunt had nuts? Then what?
What if Verlander comes back and they haven't even announced it?
Yeah. Well, what if he does? And what if, you know, what if Lance Berkman shows up and starts hitting? What if Carlos Beltran comes back and has, like, an offseason like 2004?
He's banned for this year.
Well, yeah, but he might. He can't. It's him. He and Verlander might come back.
He's banned from this year. He can't come back.
What the bleep? What if? What if they, well, this is the playoffs. You never know. I mean, yeah.
You said that you just crapping on the playoffs before they start? Are you an anti-Astro guy?
Does it feel like the playoffs to you?
No. I feel like it.
Name the last 29-31 team, a team that was 2 games under 500 that you saw. Wow, can't wait to see them in the postseason.
Whoever had previously been in a World Series finished 2 games under 500.
3 years ago? Last year. That's right. They were in the World Series last year. I forgot. Yeah. 8 outs to go. I put that out of my memory.
Yeah, maybe you forgot. The same roster was in a World Series.
Oh, no, it's not the same.
Oh, the
roster.
Same lineup.
Not really. It's not even close.
Same guys. Who's out?
Who
are they missing?
Yordan?
They're missing Yordan.
You think they're missing that bat a little bit?
They're missing the power of Yordan, but they have Kyle Tucker. Half dozen of one, six of the other, whatever it is. So there you go.
Yeah, that's what I want to do, trade in Yordan for a Kyle Tucker every day. No, you know what? That'll be fun to watch. I don't expect much, do you?
I expect them to win the series.
You do?
Yeah.
You do?
You think the Twins are that good?
I think they're better than the Astros. I think that they're
I think they're better than the Astros, but I think the Astros have been there before. They'll
Minnesota's
buck up and surprise everybody. And this is going to be the weirdest, slowest buildup to people following the Astros again. Be like, hey, did you hear the Astros won? Baseball's going? Yes. The Astros won. Who pitched? Verlander? No. He's dead. He's baseball dead. What? Who? Huh? What happened? Yordan homer? Yordan's been out. He played like one game. Hit a homer. His first at bat. And they'll say, I thought the pandemic. No. They're playing. There's no fans. I don't care, do I? I mean, well, I do want to put my Astros shirts back on again and pretend like I'm a super fan. Well
go ahead.
Go ahead. We're 1-0 now, and it'll be 2-0. Like, wow, the Astros won the first 2 games. Where does the game go now? Where does the series go? That's it.
It's over.
It's a 3-game series. What'd they finish this year? 29-31. What? That's 60 games. Yeah, I know. But that's under 500. Yeah. They won 2 games. They just advanced. Huh? It's a 7-game series. What are you talking about? No, it's a 2-game series now.
Who are you talking to, by the
just
way?
Just two people having a conversation.
No. Who are these people?
These are people
that don't know anything.
One guy who is a super fan,
and
who became an Astros fan when he could go buy shirts that he liked. And then the other one is like the guy who follows sports and is telling them, no, you don't understand. All these things are happening.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, during the second round, I guess I should get hyped up again, right? Yeah, but guys on radio like Granato aren't even hyped up.
I'm hyped.
He's crapping all over this series like it's over.
It is. It's already like it's been played.
Okay? No, yes. It's not.
It is.
Yeah, it is. 2-0 Astros. Yeah. Moving on to the second round. Who are we playing in the second round?
Well, that's interesting to see. It'll be Tampa Bay, probably.
Don't care. Beat them last year, too.
No. It'd be no. It's Oakland or
great. We've owned the A's forever.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I really don't. I haven't even looked.
You better start to care. You're going to start to. Maybe I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
Maybe this guy is talking to you, and you're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
The Astros are what? Yeah. 2-0. They will sweep 2-0, and because the Twins are the poors, and we are, the Twins are the sorry people. We're the kings, and they're the sorry people. So remember that.
Right.
And remember that the poors are not going to beat the Astros in the playoffs.
No, the poors.
Everybody just discounting the Astros is going to be in for a big surprise tonight when Georgie Springer goes yard and the Astros win 3-2.
Huh. Everybody's going to be in for a huge surprise. Is that it?
Tonight.
I mean,
this afternoon.
Yeah, don't misinform people.
This afternoon at 1 o'clock on ABC.
Yeah, you might want to tell people all the stats, because I don't know how many people know the game's going to be on ABC.
Yeah, right. So it's on ABC, which you never see baseball on since Joe Garagiola was calling games, I guess. Like, how long has it been since you've seen a game on ABC?
Yeah, no, Jim Palmer has the color. You get the A's or the Sox.
And you know who was calling a game probably was, what's his name from Sunday Night Football?
Keith Jackson called it for a while.
No, but with
Al Michaels.
Al Michaels. Yeah. Is Al Michaels and, well, or Tony Kubek?
Yeah.
Joe Garagiola? Well,
Tony Kubek was NBC.
We're going back.
That's NBC.
Oh, that was NBC. Yeah, and Garagiola was NBC, too, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Jim Palmer and Al Michaels were doing Monday Night Baseball on ABC. Right. We get the A's or the Sox in the second round in Los Angeles. We get in Tampa or the Jays get Cleveland or New York in San Diego. The Cubs, for those of you who don't know, the Cubs are playing the Marlins. The Marlins made the postseason, so that and without buying a whole team, which is awesome.
That's a weird thing for them.
Yeah. Did you turn your mic off?
Oh yeah. And without they did it without buying a team. And they did it, and they also did it without any fans, which is weird.
And they did it, they don't always do it without
fans. Oh, that's right. That's always without fans.
Yeah. But they also did it in a pandemic when they missed 40 games out of the 60. The Cardinals as well made the postseason, despite, having, guys who were sick and missed time. So this is can't be any weirder. The Dodgers and the Brewers. The Padres and the Cardinals, the Cubs and the Marlins, and the Braves and the Reds. And didn't Joey Botto have a famous quote this weekend that said, what an effing mess we are, or something to that effect? I mean, he dropped an F-bomb on everybody.
No, his quote was, hey, Wendy, what's up, girl?
No.
No, what he said.
No, he did not say.
In your dream.
In my dream that happened.
Yeah. What he said was, will be an effing nightmare for the opponents.
Oh! I thought he said we're an effing nightmare. That's what he said. We're an effing nightmare.
Yeah, but not for.
Oh, it was for the opponent.
Yeah, you're gonna be so hard to play.
Oh, are they? Are you though?
What about?
Are you Joey as the seventh seed? Are you though?
Yeah. What was it that Boone said about his guys? We're savages. We're savages in the box. Okay, we're savages. And he told the.
Yeah.
Like, okay, savages.
Slow down, savages.
Bye.
Barely even.
And then
human.
What did the Astros do with them?
Beat it.
The same thing. What? There's no phone calls on. There's no. Stop. Not in 19. They didn't.
They buzzed their way past the.
There's no phone calls.
Hey, the Astros were a buzzsaw.
They didn't.
Past the
they
Yankees.
Weren't a buzzsaw.
After watching the offense this year, I'm pretty sure they had buzzers last year.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
I'm pretty sure. After watching them this year.
Oh, you're going to apologize to John Boy?
I'm not apologizing. No, I never said anything to John Boy. Screw John Boy. But I'm going to say this. He's probably right.
They didn't have buzzers.
Didn't they? No. Have you watched them hit this year? They suck.
Maybe they've got the Rona.
It's bad. It is bad.
Maybe they've got leftover Rona.
Man. Berrios today? Holy crap.
We got no phone calls. No, here, I'm going to give you the number.
We got Jimbo coming up. The
playoffs.
Jimbo coming up. After
Well,
Jimbo.
That's convenient.
Oh, it's Maeda today. That's right. Berrios tomorrow.
That's convenient. Kenta Maeda
today is going
to
be...
When you try to prevent...
80 strikeouts, 10 walks.
Do you know what this is, Dell? He's so anti-Astro right now.
I'm not
because, you won't let people come in and right now do Astros calls. You don't want to talk about the Astros. You know why?
It's real simple. Because Jimbo's coming up. Because I want to talk Aggie football 17-12. Ever hear 17-12?
I heard it 19-10.
I have heard it. Well, this was the 17-12. It's A&M's version.
Vanderbilt's the version.
It's the Cowboys.
It's the Aggies version of the Cowboys?
Really? Yeah. Did you see that Cowboy team?
Yeah, the Quincy Carter-led
team. Yeah.
Okay.
That was pretty crappy.
John's got his Cleveland Browns gear on again.
Yep,
2-1.
That's right, baby. 2-1. Let's go.
Let's go to Gulf Coast Chevrolet. Let's go to, the first thing you have to do is go to LanceZCars.com. It's LanceZCars.com. Did you know that they have like $7,000 rebate going on right now for the for the Chevy Silverado Texas Edition pickup? It's unbelievable. It's an unbelievable offer that they're giving you right now. And Chevy has all kinds of great deals. And I mean, not just on the Silverado pickup truck, but also check in on the Traverse. How about you make sure that you get your hands on, on the Chevy Suburban. Suburban's one of the OGs of the SUVs that are out there, and it looks fantastic. It's got a great design. I think you're really going to love it. You know, Chevy is where you find new roads, and it's also where you find amazing rebates right now on a ton of vehicles that they have in stock. And at Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC, they have been replenishing. They just sold 5 cars just yesterday. It went from 171 to 166. So make sure you get your pick of the litter by going to LanceZCars.com. Remember, it's an angle. They'll be more than happy to deliver the car into Houston for you, but you get those small town prices and you get incredible trade-in values for your pre-owned vehicle. It's Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
Guys, this fall, as you get back into the swing of things, Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collections for guys. It's guaranteed to upgrade your life. Really cool stuff in here. Whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers, you've got cozy clothing and threads for when the temperature dips. Bespoke Post only sends guys the best stuff every single month. That's why it's called Bespoke. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, outdoor gear. Really, really awesome. Tell you what, I love the Weekender bag right now, which is part of the Box of Awesome. Or how about this one? The Layers is something that you can get with flannel shirt, and it's brushed flannel. They've got boot socks to match as well. This is your opportunity to get started. Take the quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers will help them pick out the perfect box for you. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Time to bring in the head coach of them Aggs on your station for Texas A&M football, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Jimbo Fisher with us this morning. Coach, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. I know, it must have been good to be out there after all this time, but I know you got some things to clean up. How do you clean up the fumble situation there, Coach?
Ball security issues in practice, which we work on daily, and we got to make sure it happens. We've had multiple scrimmages all summer, all year, We had three good ones in camp, and you know, we didn't have those, and we work on it daily. We let defense guys strip, pop, rip, do everything every play of every day, and this guy continued to do that and enhance and be attention to detail on how we're doing it. And, you know, that the turnovers, like you say, that can affect you, and that was a huge part of what happened to us the other night for different reasons. I mean, one, you know, you get them when you're carrying them, and then other times we got to give a little pass throw and you got to clean that pocket up a little bit so we're not getting the ball taken out of the back. So, but, you know, either way, you got turnovers. You can't let them happen.
No, and especially the quarterback, and he had some. You obviously had the one on the pass, and he fumbled. But you had Kellen for the most part. Quarterback's got to be able to, you know, have the option of throwing, running, and having the ball ready to, you know, to discharge at any point. But he's also got to keep that ball protection. Kellen, he's not known for being a fumbler, is he?
No, I mean, he's had fumbles in his past, but not large numbers. But he's had some fumbles, but not large numbers of fumbles. No. Yeah, like I say, the one he's on the slide, and, you know, he got to keep the ball in the wrong arm. Got to get the ball in the left arm right there. The other on the exchange, we got to clamp down. We had a penetration on the offensive line. And so when the back clamped down, because he knew he had to make a cut on it, Kellen was wanting to pull it. And they clamped down, and he pulled, and that's what that put that ball on the ground. We had penetration inside as you look at the film, because the back clamped because he wanted to make a cut quicker than he had to. And, you know, put it on the ground. We pull it, we score. I mean, there's nobody even out there. But, hey, that's part of football. Everybody affects everybody, and we got to make sure we do it. But any kind of balls on the ground, there's never an excuse for that. Yeah. And then we have one with the receiver and one because of the protection issue. So,
right.
You know, but, we got to make sure we're doing it. And when you get in a large pile of the people, the other thing is you got to quit. You got to be careful and get down, because two or three guys hold you and the other guy can strip you. It becomes a problem in that, too, some of the skilled guys. So we're trying to coach, make sure all those points get across and not doing what we're doing.
Yeah. Well, the scariest one was that last one. It was fourth and one, but up by five, and they get the ball back with 3-something to play. That's or 4 minutes to play. That's a little bit scary, Coach. They got the football and a chance.
What caused was it? We got penetration up front.
Yep.
We got penetration, and it got the tackle pushed back on the play. When we went to the back, you had to make a cut. We can ride it in there a little quicker, and the back clamped down because he had to make a cut on the ball, which is – what do you have to do? You have to make a cut, and we're trying to pull it at the same time. And that's what happened. We got to, you know, that interaction along with the penetration caused the timing of the fumble, and you can't do it. If we pull it, we can score. So it's a chain reaction across the board, and we all got to do our job. But then no matter what, you got to make sure the ball does not hit the ground. We haven't had one of them the whole camp and what we were doing. But live action, that's what happens, and you got to clean that up. There's no excuses for any of that.
Coach, there's going to be a lot of talk about the offense and what didn't happen, the points and this, that, and the other. Defensively, I know Hines is out, but I've heard that the kid behind him was – I've heard he was having a good camp anyway, and then I thought O'Neal did a nice job on the back end for you. What do you think of your defensive unit as a whole for the first game out?
I thought we played well against the run at times. A couple runs we let come out, and a couple third-down converted. They had some third and longs on three straight drives that we've got to get cleaned up.
Right.
But they played a solid football game. They got two big critical turnovers at the end. But at the end, too, like you say, we was hoping that one of the turnovers, you know, we get a lead, come out and score the first half, hoping we can get a good quick stop, and then they get a long drive, and then we get the turnover, and it's in our own. And then we're driving out, and that's when we fumble. We get it back to the midfield, 42, 43-yard line. That's when Kellen was sliding on the play and fumbles, and they come back. But, you know, I thought played solid football game. Still some things to clean up on third down. We got to keep on the run, and transition and sudden change, you know, we got to do a little bit better. And for both ends, you know, when the offense turns it over, or also when we get momentum in the game and try to get stops and play toward each other, because I thought we could have control of the game. Too big, like I say, that drive in the second half, and we gave up a little bit, even though we got it back down to change field position. And the other one was critical was the penalty on the holding call that we forget about in the second drive. We're on the 1-yard line going in. Well, we have a 3-and-out, then we have a long touchdown drive, we have another touchdown drive, we had a pass, and we're down the 1-yard line. We had a holding call, which set us back, which then in turn on the third and long, which we're throwing to an open guy for a good play that allows us to get the ball when the ball was, he's throwing it somehow, and the guy got his hand on the back of the ball when Kellen was throwing it. Those are critical times in the game that you got to learn to take control. Once you get up a couple of scores, then the game can be different possibly because you got momentum and how you call it and what it forces them to do. Their strategy was to lengthen the game, keep it a one possession game, and they did a good job of that. So, but defensively, we've got to be playing the run good, physical, tackle in space,
is a couple third down situations, but they played a very solid football game and had two critical turnovers.
Well, so you go into Alabama this week, and this is like right into the frying pan right off the bat. Second game of the year for you, which isn't usually going to be October 3rd, but here we are, second game of the year. They got a quarterback with some experience. They got a running back that's really talented, and they got a couple wide receivers that are outstanding as well. Do you look at – I'm always curious because I don't hear coaches ever say this. They always talk about just playing their game, but I always wonder if it – you know, how much – tempo and pace and time of possession matters when you're playing a team that's explosive and has explosive playmakers. How much your running game and controlling the clock a little bit, especially on the road, how much that matters to a coach? Or you just
– Oh, it does. I mean, you know, I just to play a game. You strategize that we need – like, you know, we would love to have more possessions that game. We only had eight, and then the other two at the end of the half. We did a good job running out the ball at the end of the game in the last 4 minutes. Got a big first down on a throw, third down on a throw, and then and ran the clock out. But you're always trying to limit, you know, how many times you give them the ball, how many times you do that on the ball. But you also got to be able to make third downs. The key to all that is it's always, you can play tempo, but you got to get conversion. You got to convert your third downs, and you got to keep them from converting. That's the two things that you have to do to win that battle. And then hopefully you get some turnovers in there. That's just the way it is. So you got to be careful there, but you also put yourself in an eight ball. If you start that and they get fast and you get behind and you try to be playing catch up the whole time. So, I mean, the strategy of the game, that's what makes it tough. We talk about that all the time. How on special teams, where you kick it, where you don't kick it, where you, you know, do we need to play slower? Do we need to play faster? Do we have to score points this week, or do we think we can keep it in a low scoring game, keep it to one or two possession game, and keep some of their skill off the field? Those are conversations that we are constantly having about the strategy of how you play the game.
Absolutely. And you know, I watched the first half, and I thought, well, this is going to be a boat race with, Alabama pulling away from Missouri. But Missouri did a nice job. What did they do in the second half that kept that
played
thing?
On Alabama, and they didn't execute. I mean, Alabama, again, had a couple plays, and it didn't. You know, they were hot early, had some big plays to Waddle. And to see the big plays is what, you know, if you look at them, their big playability is huge. And that's what one of the big things is. I mean, the catch and run. I mean, there's going to be a couple of deep balls, but really more mid-range throws that balls got caught and then ran away from people and the skill level. And then the second half, Missouri was very physical up front, kept competing in the game. Alabama did not execute as well in the second half as they did in the first half. And, you know, it just strung it out, and they kind of went to a stalemate in the neutral there. But it's, you know, Missouri gets a good job physically up front. That's what you're going to have to do. Their offensive and defensive lines are very, very good. And that's, you know, you talk about the skill and all that, but their front guys are very good and they're very big. So you're going to have to do that. And Alabama didn't execute as well in the second half as they did the first.
What's it like? I mean, okay, so you limited number of people. It's going to be limited as well at Alabama, Coach. How about the difference in playing in that kind of atmosphere as opposed to normal Saturdays?
You know, it's funny because you notice the fans and all that, but, you know, when they pump in the crowd noise, you can still hear it a little bit. And you're so engulfed in it. I mean, it's not the same environment, but it's not I don't know if it changed a huge difference in that we get so engulfed in the game when they pump in crowd noise and you look at it and go, man, there ain't as many people. But, I mean, it's still, you know, a lot of our players felt, they said, you know, it felt, you didn't hear that constant roar, but at least from I think just them playing a different opponent had them so focused. You know what I'm saying? And you don't realize how much kids really do focus in on just what they're doing.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Can you tell it's going to have an impact on home field advantage already?
Definitely do, because yeah. I think your communication level. I mean, because no matter what, the crowd noise has to stop when the center gets over the ball if they pump in crowd noise, so they can't have that. So the point is your communication levels, your cadences, your ability to talk and, you know, and up front in different scenarios, whatever it may be, offense, defense, it does affect that it allows the visiting team more communication, in my opinion.
Let's talk about some positives. Take some positives. I know it's tough as a coach. Those fumbles and the penalties that you guys had is awfully difficult. And that punt return was very, very interesting.
Our two, I mean, like I say, that was probably one of our most instinctive guys. He just said, like I said, I just lost track of where I was, coach. And you'd never dreamed that would happen. I mean, Anais is one of the most intelligent football players I've ever coached. I mean, and he knows we hit the 10, don't go behind the 6. If they're around you, you can catch it there because sometimes guys will get it at the 1.
we have a, and he just, you know, he just went back and he didn't realize where he was.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't realize the excitement of the game, the youth of the game. And we have one on the first one when the ball hits the guy, and we know that we can just take a knee. Chase, I mean, those guys are very talented, going to be very good players. I mean, that was just mistakes they made, and we've got to coach them, move on, and go about it. That was just things that, you know, we work on. We work on catching punts. We work on not going inside the sticks. We work on never catching the ball in the end zone. I mean, those are things that we go through. But sometimes they just happen in a game, and guys haven't played in a while, I guess, and, you know, critical mistakes, and know exactly what they did when they did it.
Let's
and
talk,
guys that were very, very reliable guys, and we're going to continue to do their jobs, and they'll keep doing it.
Lance mentioned it, you know, you holding on to the football this week, keeping Alabama's offense, keeping Waddle off the field, Najee Harris off the field, Mac Jones, all these guys off the field. And Isaiah Spiller's the guy to do that, isn't he? Man, it's coming out in the second half and him busting that run, Coach, that was huge.
It was big.
Yeah.
We had plans to play him a lot. We had co-starters. We had some things we were wanting to spread and get him in space with a knife, and then we were going to pound him with Spiller. We didn't get very many plays. We only had 24 plays in the first half. We only had four possessions. We had the three and out touchdown drive, then a long drive. We got to the one, then got the ball knocked out, then we had three and out, and it was over at halftime. But he ran well. Played physical, played strong, had some good runs in the game. You know, and we got to continue to get him the ball. And we got to continue to block. I mean, like you said, you got to be able to keep that ball. You also got to be able to run it, but you got to be able to convert your third downs and be in good situations.
No, absolutely. Yeah, you hold on to the football and you keep those guys off the field and you run clock. That'll be a key for Saturday.
Eliminating big plays, though, I mean, that's going to be huge. So taking care of the football on the road and eliminating big plays and creating them on your own. Last year, if you remember, we opened up with about an 8-9 minute drive, and in that game, and really scored. Had a long drive, hopefully beat some of the clock, and I mean, did it bad, like a 13-14 play drive, and then they hit it. But then we had Waddle bottled up, and he made two big plays. So, you know, they're explosive players. We're going to have to do a good job of making sure we open field tackle and do a good job on those guys.
Yeah, that punt return, right?
Well, now the first one was a little bubble pass.
Oh, well,
so we had him up on the sideline. He made two or three guys miss, and got down the sideline. Then we had kick return. You know, he got loose on the punt return and kick return.
Yep. Well, best of luck, man. Going right, as he mentioned, out of the frying pan, right into the fire. Got Alabama second game. You like that? Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good wakener. We got to get going playing. We knew it coming in. And you're going to play them now or later in the season anytime. So let's get going and get the game going.
That's great. Well, man, we appreciate it. Congratulations on getting that win. It was a tough one, but you got it. Now have fun in Tuscaloosa this weekend.
All right, thank you.
All right, there's Jimbo Fisher right here on ESPN 97.5, and you can hear that game right here. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
That's tough right out of the gate. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not a lot of build-up games where you get to Bama.
Mm-mm.
You'd have been, what, four games in? Minimum four games in before you got to Bama? Or would it have been the fourth
and
game?
And a much easier schedule this year, too, where you could have been, you know.
Well, you could have worked out some of the kinks. Now you're like, well, I hope we got them worked out.
Yeah.
We're going to Bama. We got Jalen Waddle, who looks like a nightmare.
In the second game, so yeah, I know. What's the difference?
Man? I know. Well, just I don't know. You know, I don't know. We've talked to Coach. I don't get the feeling. He said they thud, which is, you know, they pop each other in pads. I get the feeling they're doing, like, just because it's pandemic doesn't mean they're not out there, you know, doing what they're supposed to do. That's not really an excuse.
No.
And he hasn't made that an excuse. So. I don't know. They got to, I mean, here's what they have to do. Pretty much not turn it over at all.
No, mistake free. You can't have the big penalties.
And Mond is going to have to step up. We're going to get to a break here in a second, but I will say right now, I think. Yeah,
right now.
I will say me and Dane Brugler on our podcast talked about Kellen Mond. You know, he just hasn't taken a step from his sophomore year. It hasn't gotten as good as it needs to be.
Well, we'll see this week.
Of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
733 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. We got Astros playoffs today. We've got Texans signing Earl Thomas today.
Looks like.
Possibly. We've got Antonio Brown coming in. Okay. He's going to, I don't know.
That's not happening.
I'm hoping.
Now, the Earl Thomas thing, you're probably thinking, oh, John was joking about Earl, too. No, actually,
that's been out
they're
there.
Bringing in Earl Thomas for a workout. And
is this Bill O'Brien just saying, you know what? I really effed up here. I need some players. Well, and I don't care about, you know what? Screw that culture thing. I mean, if you're going to bring in Earl Thomas.
You know the Cowboys won't even touch him, apparently?
Yeah.
The Cowboys like, we're not.
And they suck.
They think his issues are a little too bad.
And actually, the Texans have played much better defense than the Cowboys have. You know, this will.
Yeah, it's true.
They have.
They're not good on the back end either. So.
This is desperation. This is like Bill O'Brien going, oh, I don't give a rat. You know what? I gotta save this thing.
Well,
what would it be for the lock? I mean, JJ, did you watch his post game press conference?
I didn't see JJ's.
He was like, hey, how about your brother? You know, I don't care about my brothers. You know, that's great, but you know, that's fine. But you know what? We lost. Deshaun was distraught. I wonder if this would be a move. They're like,
they should be distraught.
We got a good player for a change instead of Michael Thomas and Eric Murray.
How about this? AJ Moore goes on the IR.
AJ Moore. So how many flipping safeties did they sign this offseason?
If they're bringing in Earl Thomas, you know what that means?
More safeties on the field.
No, it also means that they may be admitting they blew it with Eric Murray or that Eric Murray is not the player that they wanted him to be.
What is the player that they want? What do we expect out of Eric Murray that he's covering? Did you see he was on Juju on the 2-point conversion?
How many are they ever going to get?
Wait a minute! Don't you have a cornerback?
Are they ever going to? What do you mean? They had Justin Reed on Hardman.
I know
for the touchdown against Kansas City. What do you mean?
I know. Safety on That's the problem. They've got all safeties. Lonnie Johnson is a safety. I mean, the only corner they have is Bradley Roby. Hargraves is terrible.
Hargraves can't play.
He can't play.
Gary Conley can't play. He should stay on IR.
What?
Everybody they bring on this team from the secondary stinks. Think about this. Think about every player that they've added. Okay.
Let's get rid of AJ Bouye.
What was his name from the crappy one from Jacksonville?
Oh, which one? Gibson or the first one?
No, the first one. The other cornerback.
Yeah.
He stunk.
Colvin.
Aaron Colvin. Not good. Tayshaun Gibson, not good.
Well, except Tayshaun Gibson had the pick that sealed the win for the Bears last week.
Well, he didn't do anything here. Wasn't a win. So far, Eric Murray, nothing. You brought in Hargraves. All he does is go out there and tackle people after catches. That's pretty much all he does. Gary Conley's done nothing.
You're not blaming Eric Murray. He's in a situation he shouldn't be in. What the bleep is he doing on Juju? I mean, honestly.
No, I'm just talking about in general. They must not be happy with his play.
Well, no, they just lost AJ, so maybe that's why they're bringing in Earl Thomas.
As depth?
Well, not
don't
as depth.
Don't they still have Mike Thomas and Lonnie Johnson?
Yeah.
Mike Thomas is a career special teamer, pretty much. Yeah. He's not a starting caliber player.
But this
player.
Is what they signed.
None of these guys.
How much did they pay him? I mean, honestly. And what are you going to have to pay Earl Thomas? Is Earl Thomas going to come in here? What do you mean?
Earl Thomas
is still going to demand some money.
Nah, you're going to get him fairly cheap. And it's not going to matter. Whatever money gets paid is what they have under the cap this year anyway. It's not going to be more than the end of this year. So his money's irrelevant. I mean, it's not going to prevent you from doing anything. It's only going to be a one-year
Another
deal.
Safety. They signed 20 safeties well, this offseason.
Get one that can play, I guess.
Well, what the...
Get one that can play.
Oh my God, this is a disaster.
We expected 0-3, or we knew there's a pretty good chance of 0-3. I did think the Steelers game could flip the other way, though. I mean, that was always the game that you thought, you never know. But it hasn't looked good. Like there could have been more encouraging 0-3s out there, but it's not. It was not an encouraging 0-3.
What do you think Eric Murray's average salary is?
He's like $6 million a year.
Yeah.
What about it?
I don't know. I guess $6 million doesn't buy what it used to.
Well,
it doesn't.
Not for the Texans.
No, that's just a very reasonable.
It just
reasonable...
doesn't. I mean, an upper echelon safety goes for a 12.
But 13, how about a
14?
A good safety. What does that go for?
Well, not six.
Well, not here, it doesn't. Was Eric Murray a good player in Kansas City and Cleveland?
I mean, he plays safety and corner. This is his third team in 4 years.
Yeah.
So why are we bringing in players who aren't good?
Talk to your GM, Dell.
Well, he is kind of my GM because I get to make his picks. I mean, his picks belong. His picks belong to me.
Oh,
so he
hurts.
Is kind of my GM. But why would your GM bring in a player who wasn't good in two places, two teams who weren't exactly known for defense are like, okay, whatever, move on.
Well, was he expendable when Honey Badger came?
Well, if he was good, maybe Honey Badger doesn't come.
Well, yeah, you don't have to give Honey Badger $42
million. Yeah, Eric Murray was a good player.
Well, but don't you want really good players? There's a potential out on him after 21 where, well, your cap hit is still 6-7. Wow.
What do you think the...
Listen, Eric Murray's not why they... But that Eric Murray has to cover...
Wait a minute.
Eric Murray's the 20...
How much did they give him?
$6 million. He's the 21st.
$18 million. 3 years, 18.
He's been a part-time starter his entire career.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
What the... Man.
Right. He has not even been a full-time starter.
Your GM sucks.
He's been a package.
He's your GM, and you should be thankful.
I am thankful. Eric Murray is a sub-package player.
For
is what
six,
he is.
Average salary is six a year?
But that's 21st in the league. Salary.
He's not the 21st ranked safety in the league.
There's two safeties per team. There's 64.
But he's the 21st paid safety.
He's paid 21st. He ain't the 21st safety in the league.
Well, he's tied with Trey Boston, Kenny Vaccaro, and Von Bell.
Does that
make you feel better?
No.
Oh, no.
He actually makes more than Jamal Adams.
I'd rather have any of those guys.
He technically makes more than Jamal Adams this year.
Interesting.
Jamal, career loser.
Yeah. Well, since he left LSU. Certainly.
Yeah, he won at LSU.
Yeah.
Oh, he also makes more than Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Well, he's on a rookie deal.
I know, but it's still funny,
still,
isn't it?
That's still
makes more than Derwin James. Well,
he's always
hurt. Doesn't play football.
No.
So
I'd rather have
makes more than Keanu
I'd rather
Neal.
Have Derwin James.
I'd rather have the Pope of a Derwin James staying on the field than Eric Murray playing.
This isn't on air.
It's not.
Have a cornerback to get. Why is Eric Murray covering their best wide receiver?
Well, it's because you paid him like a average to good corner, so he's got to cover somebody.
But he's a backup player.
We know.
He's a teams and backup player. Earl Thomas could make the defense better.
I just think
it's a little strange that Dallas, who needs it, was on him like, ugh.
But $6 million is actually, you know what?
Well, for a
starter. What do you
starter,
expect for $6
million? Well, for a real starter, though. Not a sub-package player.
You can't.
$6 million, like, that's a starting safety. That's a starting safety salary.
Who was
salary,
giving Eric Murray $6 million a year? Who? Who are they competing against for Eric Murray?
That the Browns let him go.
And they stunk on defense. Man, thank you, Bill O'Brien. I'm just going to thank you for everything. We went through this yesterday about how their second round, by the way, Lance, you missed it. You know their second round pick wasn't active on Sunday because, you know, he got ejected from the previous game. And the third round pick wasn't active either. And this is following not having a first-round pick.
Blacklock inactive. Who's the third?
Heck. Charlie Heck wasn't active.
Greenard.
Charlie Heck, yeah.
And
Heck was a fourth.
Was
Greenard.
He? Who was their third-round pick?
Oh, Greenard.
Greenard.
Oh, he wasn't active either?
He wasn't active.
No, so two.
Is Charlie Heck active?
No.
No.
So their whole draft is inactive?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Well, John Reed,
did
right?
Did their first-round pick play?
John Reed. Thank you.
Did the first-round pick play?
Yeah, he played on Thursday for the Dolphins.
Oh, that's right.
He's actually a pretty good left tackle.
Well, did Eric Murray play the big free agent acquisition?
Well, sure. He played.
All right.
He was on the field. He got a lot of snaps.
Good. As long as the big money acquisition. Did David Johnson play?
You saw him out there.
Did Brandon Cooks play?
He scored a touchdown.
Did Randall Cobb play? Thank you.
They scored touchdowns, too. David Johnson and Randall Cobb scored touchdowns.
Will Fuller gutted it out. He played.
He had a hamstring. He fought through.
I don't want to talk about this anymore. Let's talk
Somebody
about
listening
it.
To the show says, yeah, Earl Thomas can't run a lick.
Oh, well,
it's one of the reasons nobody is.
That's comforting.
Him.
So,
That's can't run at all.
Well, good.
But you know what you want on the back end? Good. Guy that can't run.
Yep.
So
then we shut. Then put him on Thielen. Put him on Thielen this week.
No, let's have him cover.
We're gonna act like Thielen.
Let's have him cover Dalvin Cook out of the backfield.
That's what we'll do. That's what we'll do. We'll put him on Thielen.
Speaking of, how about the linebacker matchup on Dalvin Cook out of the backfield?
Yeah, it's not good. What Zach Cunningham needs to start showing up.
This is squarely on having no talent. You can talk about the schemes and it is kind of a big deal when you line up your safety on their best receiver.
It is.
But you know what? If you had good players, you know what? I wouldn't mind. So if it was Jamal Adams and he was on him, I'd go. That's not it.
That's not what you have.
No, that's all you got. That's what you got. And you got mediocre players that are good character guys. Everybody's a good character.
Wow, look at Father TJ sitting on hold, wants to talk Astros, you're bad mouthing. You're bad mouthing character.
Uh huh. You made the church wait.
Yeah, and you're making Father TJ wait.
Father TJ up there.
I didn't answer the phone.
Well, he's got to put Father TJ up there.
TJ Astros, who do you think it is?
Hold on. Okay, we're gonna get to Father TJ. This is a quick break. Don't you go anywhere. Time to talk TGS Insurance.
TGS Insurance is the homeowner's. So what it is, it's a company that aggregates homeowner insurance companies, underwriters, and these are A-rated underwriters. And these are the same underwriters that the big companies will use, and then they offload you onto the underwriters. Well, why don't you just go directly to the underwriters? You know, why don't you get the A-rated insurance that you were going to get anyway, but get it at a different price? You know, the average savings is $900, and I'm going to tell you why. Because so many people out there sit with the same insurance company year after year after year. And what happens is they raise it incrementally, and then there's going to be some years where they raise it a lot more. And then before you know it, because you've also got your car insurance with them, you think you've got this great bundle. And the fact is you're still paying way, way too much. They can get your homeowner's insurance switched over. They can do it today. Even if you just signed with another company, they can flip it today, get your money back from the other company. They can also find you car insurance if you're worried about your bundle. Make sure that you text the word money to 232323 and find out what their homeowner's rate will be for you. You can get the rate within 15 seconds. Text the word money to 232323.
ESPN 97.5.
Houston is all systems go.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I don't know if you saw this morning, Brian McTaggart announced Josh James is all systems go. That's what he announced. He said all systems go.
No, Dusty, he used the quotes.
Oh, Dusty.
Dusty said he's all systems go.
Do you think Dusty quote hears unquote. This song?
Yeah, Dusty listens to us.
I'm sure. Father TJ does. What up, Father TJ?
Hey, guys. I don't know what's more depressing, either 4 months of Lance and COVID talk radio or going through the Texans and all their holes.
Yeah.
Man, this is super sad.
I tried to get everyone pumped up on Astros baseball. I'm already on to the second round, Father TJ.
I'm pumped up about the Astros too, because who knows what can happen. I mean, we remember in 2017 when George Springer was terrible and then he ends up winning the World Series MVP. Who knows? I mean, anything can happen. And what I'm really excited about is tomorrow there's going to be 8 baseball games on. 4 of them are going to be elimination games. It's going to be like March Madness in September for baseball. It's so exciting. And I'm excited about the Astros because at some point soon, we're going to see the end of Springer, Reddick, Brantley, Gurriel. And if this is the last time we get to see him in Astros jersey, then we're thankful for all the memories. I mean, I'm just so grateful to the Astros. 2017, the city of Houston's going through a horrible tragedy. They lifted us up, got us to be distracted from Hurricane Harvey cleanup. In 2019, Kingwood, we got smoked with the flooding from Imelda. They gave us that awesome distraction going all the way to the World Series last year. So I'm very excited about what this team could do if they get hot. And if not, it's, hey, guys, thanks for an incredible run of 4 or 5 years, because it's a lot of fun.
All right, if you could keep, who would you keep, Father TJ, of the guys? You can only keep, let's say, either you could keep Yuli and Brantley, or you can keep Springer. Which one would you choose?
I would take Springer. Springer's at the top of the lineup, setting the stage. his energy, enthusiasm, leadership, I just don't think you can replace that easily.
Yeah.
He's so key to everything they are and the culture of the team. I think Springer's the guy you got to hold on to.
Yeah. It's going to be big money. It's going to be over 20. The other guys you might be able to get on the cheap and only for a couple of years. I don't know what they're going to do. I tell you the truth. If they were going to sign Springer, I think they would have done it already. I don't think they're going to do that, but we shall see. And let's see. You know what? Since there's no buzzers and there's no trash can banging, this whole lineup has been a disaster this year.
There's no buzzers. Stop with your buzzer talk, John boy.
Have you seen them this year as opposed to last year?
Yeah, I think it's a pandemic, and I think it's they started their spring training and at regular time, pitchers and catchers report, spring training, and then boom, July.
Please tell Father TJ happy Yom Kippur. That's the wrong
team.
One there, Charles Altuve.
And you don't say happy Yom Kippur. We talked about this yesterday. Mary. You don't say that either.
Yes, I did. I said it to my Jewish friend yesterday.
Yeah, but you're not supposed
to.
And that's
he liked
not the
it.
Thing.
He liked it.
Okay, but it's not really the greeting. We went through the greeting. You said it yesterday.
Merry Yom Kippur.
That is incorrect.
Yeah. No, it is.
By the way, Chris says, it's definitely basic bee weather this morning. Does Dell have his Uggs on? First of all, Dell doesn't wear Uggs. And secondly, this is great weather. This feels great.
And then he corrected himself and went after you a little bit.
Oh, he did? I haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah.
What do you...
Because I said it's great weather. He likes it when you have swamp ass. Chris, they call him Swamp Ass Chris.
So do I. I said, you said this is
That's great. What they call him, Swamp Ass Chris.
What a nickname.
Swamp Ass. Well, did you see what I sent to you?
Nah, I haven't gotten there yet.
It's freezing cold. It's freezing.
It's freezing cold.
You're a cold weather idiot.
It was 60 degrees this morning. That's
freezing
great.
Freezing is great. Cold weather idiot.
Humidity.
Who likes heat? Me.
Feels like 102
is
great.
Swamp
feet.
Ass John.
Swamp ass John.
Chris says, my apologies. I don't really take his apology too seriously. He still called me Dale. Lance has his Uggs and pumpkin spice this morning.
No, I don't drink pumpkin spice. Well, I just like weather that's kind of 60 degrees.
Well, look
what is Chris like? Like, thank God, it feels like 87 degrees this morning at 6 in the morning.
Yeah.
That's what kind of weather is that? Go
that's
move
perfect.
To the Florida Keys.
It's perfect. Thank you.
Well, his profile pic is a picture is an Aggie.
Of a sweaty crack?
It's not. Oh, no.
Is that the profile pic?
No, it's a
sweaty crack?
He's wearing an Aggie soccer shirt, so I'm not sure what that says about him.
I don't know what it says about him either. You just know he's a sweat ass.
You think his nickname is Swamp Ass Chris?
Swamp Ass Chris.
Which would you rather have, Trash Ass Lance or Swamp Ass Chris?
No, I'd rather be trash ass. Yeah. Swamp Ass is
what
a real thing that happens.
What if your ass smells like trash? What if your ass smells like trash, though?
Yeah, but Swamp Ass happens in Houston on seats.
Yep. Let's get LSU seats. Brian in here. How about today, LSU Brian? What about it?
What's going on, guys? Hey, of course, you're always going to start off with the Texans, but I'm so tired of beating the same old can. Speaking of Astros. But Lance, you making these excuses for the Astros, and you know I tried to kind of make excuses for LSU and that whooping they got the other day with, you know, oh, they're missing so many guys and you know the shortened spring training and all this. You can't make excuses for those Astros. You just can't do it. They're just not as good. Now hopefully next year it'll be a little different, but. You got to stop making excuses.
Well, I'm not making excuses. I'm saying, are we not, like, can we not give them a chance?
Nah, we've been giving them chances all year. And that's the thing. We keep saying, you know, they're going to start hitting. They're going to start hitting. Well, if you're not hitting, you're not hitting. And the only chance they got is Father TJ, saying that prayer over Springer.
I'm just saying. Let me tell y'all something. Make sure that you give me that call tomorrow when they win 3-2 in Springer homers. And then all of a sudden everyone's saying, wait a minute, they just need one win, and then they're on to the second round. I'll just be like, I know. I don't know why y'all couldn't believe that these bats would awaken and give you three runs.
I don't think awakening is a three-run.
This year it is, Dale.
Okay.
This year, three runs is...
You trust three runs to be enough when your bullpen will have to close it out?
You get three solo homers. No.
No.
No, but you don't have to go as deep in the bullpen. And Josh James is all systems go, so
closer?
I feel better.
Who's going to close out the game?
Josh James has a playoff experience.
No, but who's going to close out the game?
Ryan Pressly.
Oh, so you feel great about a 3-2 bottom of the ninth?
Yeah.
No, it's 3-0.
Oh,
in my scenario, and he gives up two.
Okay,
yeah, he wins. You win 3-2 because he gets a save.
And Paredes has to come in and bail him.
One of those cool saves, 3-2 save.
Javier, come on in, Javier.
No, he'll do it. Dusty will go with him. Nobody's getting up in the pen.
Will he though?
Date game two. Astros win 5-1.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. 5 runs.
Wow,
5 runs.
That's a
yeah. Kyle Tucker hits a 3-run homer,
and they're only giving up one, huh?
Yep.
And they're only giving up one.
All right. It's going to be operation.
I like it.
It's a good, great scenario.
If they win today, I'm telling you, the pressure is squarely on.
This city's asleep. This city has no head coach in basketball. The Texans have gotten off to an 0-3 start, and the Astros are in the middle of the playoffs, and it feels like
it's a morgue.
They are 29-31.
Yeah.
I mean, they're 29-31. There's no Justin Verlander, and Jose Altuve is hitting about 70 points lower than he's ever hit.
Ooh, more than that.
More than that?
More than 70 points.
You think?
Yeah. Yeah. He's, what, hitting 211?
No, he's higher than that. He came back up, remember? Unless he dropped recently. He had come back up into
go take a look.
He'd come back up to
219.
Well, I thought he was 226. So he's hitting 219. His career stats, the lowest he's ever hit. Let's see.
Lowest he's ever hit. Oh, no, he had 276 when he started his first year. Then 290, 283, 341, 313. It's the low. Well, it's 80. It's 8. Well, last year he hit 298.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's 80 points lower than last year. 79 points lower than last year. Wow. David is. Oh, we got to take a break. We're going to take a break, David. We'll get you on the other side. That was a little jab. I guess you threw a little jab at Jose Altuve. Congratulations.
No, I'm expecting him to do some great things. I expect that for you as well to do some great things with your website. If your website is a mess, and you know if it's a mess, if somebody at your office did it, if your brother-in-law did it, it's probably not going to be state-of-the-art. It probably hasn't been built with the idea of the smoothest user interface and the best flow and the ability to maintain eyes on your website with information that translates into leads, business leads for your small to medium-sized business. I mean, when it's all said and done, that's what your website is all about. You want to tell people who you are, what you do, and why they should use your services. And what SiteJab does is they can build your website from the ground floor up. It takes 3 to 6 weeks for a customized website, or they can take your pre-existing website and make alterations. If you've got a pretty good website that just isn't up to date, they can make some changes to it and get you where you are up to date and ready to go. Make sure that SiteJab is your company. SiteJab.com. SiteJab.com. They are going to do that for you. They can even add e-commerce. 2 decades in the business here in Houston. Support local and get a great website with SiteJab.com.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are 2/4 of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in 4 dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.